in complete dependence, dear friends, upon the Lord to bless his holy and sacred word to us. I'd ask your prayerful attention by way of a text to the psalm which we read, Psalm 118. Psalm 118 and verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Psalm 118, verse 24. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This verse is often quoted and declared at times when we have special occasions in our lives. It is very common for it to be declared at the time of marriage, when two, a man and woman, come together to profess their vows before a holy God and commit themselves to each other for the remainder of their lives. We look at the way the Lord has worked and brought them together and give them that love one to another. A day which the Lord hath made, when it is a day of rejoicing and a day of gladness. And dear friends, it can be, as their days go on, and they come to significant as what we call anniversaries, after so many years. And the Lord has watched over and helped and provided. When those anniversaries come, dear friends, it's acknowledging that it is the day which the Lord hath made. And one is to be glad and rejoice in it. It is right to do so. It may be at the birth of children, for children are a gift of the Lord, the gift of God. Dear friends, when life has been spared through the labour of the mother at the time of birth, what a day of rejoicing when all is well. A day which the Lord hath made. And it's right to be glad and to rejoice in it. And so we may go on. But dear friends, let us remember this. Every day is a day which the Lord hath made. There's no exception. Right back in the beginning, the day of creation, let there be light. And there was light. And the evening and the morning, the scripture tells us, was the first day. And you children can probably tell me that it was on the fourth day that God created a great light in the firmament. Do notice that God commanded the light before the sun was actually created. The sun is the means whereby today that light is maintained to us day by day. It is the hand and the gift and the power of God. We're not to worship the sun as many people do, particularly on the day of the solstices, and where they worship the sun for the goodness, yes, it gives to us in light and warmth and all many things that we have need of. We're not to worship that which God has given us, which are just means. We're to worship God himself, who has given us these things. And ever since that day, every day until now, oh, the faithfulness of God, the stability of his creation, the stability of his covenant, oh, day and night shall not fail while the earth remains. So this is a day which the Lord hath made. We're to be glad and rejoice in it. Why is that? We do not know how many days from that fourth day when the sun was created and the moon and the stars, to when Adam and Eve, who were created 2 days later on day 6, and they lived their life in that lovely Garden of Eden, and all was provided for them. There was night and day there. When Adam and Eve sinned against the command of God. Oh, that was a day, a dreadful day, wasn't it? That was the day when Satan's power prevailed in the hearts, the minds, upon the soul of Adam and Eve. And that day became a day when God's wrath and anger was poured out upon Adam and Eve and upon this earth. This earth became a sin-cursed earth because of Adam and Eve's disobedience to the word of God. Therefore, we have to acknowledge, don't we, the long-suffering love of God. For in his wrath, a God could so readily, who cannot abide sin in his holiness, have destroyed all that he had created. And there would have been day and night no more. But the Lord did not do that. There came a time when that was nearly the case, wasn't it? In the days of Noah. When the sinfulness through Adam and those born of Adam's race became so great that every thought of their heart was sin in the sight of God. And he said, I will destroy mankind from the earth. There'd be no point in it continuing any more under the wrath of God for sin. But Noah found grace. Grace, that undeserving favour of God. Grace which Noah found. And God did not destroy the consequence of all the sin in his wrath. Because of his grace. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful truth this is, isn't it? The grace of God exceeds his wrath. In love for that which the purpose of his creation, that the power of Satan would be destroyed, the power of sin. Oh, his long suffering. It was with Israel, wasn't it, and Judah, after the Noah's flood. When Noah came out of the ark and man began to increase again upon the earth. There was sin again throughout each one. But God chose that people through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, a people for his praise, which became Israel and Judah in the years. But oh, what sinners they were. What rebellious sinners they were against the word of God which was given to them. Oh, his long-suffering. Every day was a day of his mercy. Every day was a day of that grace. Oh, no wonder at the time of the destruction of Judah. I mean, Israel had already been destroyed and separated from their land. Jeremiah, in his lamentations, or in faith, said, "It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed." There were still his people. There was still the sacred promise of the Lord's mercy upon them. "It's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed." His compassions, because his compassions, they fail not. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. And dear friends, that has been the case throughout the ages until now. God looks down from heaven, as he does today, upon you, upon me, and upon all things of this earth. And the declaration is that there's none that do good, no, not one. No one can reach the holiness of God. We've all turned aside, we've all become filthy. None that doeth good, no, not one. And dear friends, we all deserve that wrath of punishment for our sins. And it's of the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not, they are new every morning. Every morning of every day that he has commanded to come to pass, even this morning. Great is his faithfulness. Oh, dear friends, we don't think upon these things very much, do we? We take so much for granted that every day will come, every week will come, every month will come, years will come, and we plan and we scheme dependent upon that certainty of the rising of the sun and the setting of it again. But dear friends, let us remember that every day is a day when the Lord hath not dealt with us after our sins. He hath not rewarded us according to our iniquities. Every day is a day he has made in accordance with his sovereign will, his sovereign grace, his sovereign mercy, and his sovereign power to deliver from the power of sin. Or we read, don't we, in these Old Testament books of the Bible, the promise of the coming of the Saviour of sinners. Adam and Eve were taught it, they were told it. They heard the words of God to the serpent, in which Satan came, "The seed of the woman shall bruise thy head. Thou shalt bruise his heel." Oh, there was to be a battle. There was to be a fight. That the power of sin and Satan would be destroyed forevermore. And the promises, dear friends, they came, didn't they? Throughout the scriptures in the Old Testament. "Unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given. Oh, God shall provide himself a lamb, a sacrifice. Oh, he shall come." And so we read again and again of the coming of Christ. And in the fullness of time, Christ was born. Oh, what a day that was, a day which the Lord had made. Dear friends, that's a day which we can truly say, oh, we will rejoice and be glad in it. The coming of Jesus, the Saviour of sinners. The only way that we can be delivered from our sins. Dear friends, when Christ came upon that day, It was many days before he began to preach the kingdom of heaven, wasn't it? But every day, dear friends, he knew that he was here to do the Father's business. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, and then to be crowned with glory and honour. We read in the scriptures that the word day can mean a number of days. We read of the days of various kings. Their whole reign was called the day of King Ahab or the day of King Hezekiah and so on. And we have the day of the Lord Jesus Christ here upon this earth. Those days of his sacred ministry, those days of his wonderful power and mercy to those who were sick and plagued with devils, and all the evidence that he was above the things of this earth. He was the Son of God who came to save his people from their sins, not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. But, dear friends, there'd be no call to repentance of any value unless the price of sin demanded by the holy law of God was fulfilled. That's why Christ came, to suffer, bleed, die, to be made sin, of which he was himself sinless, but be made an offering for sin, bearing the sins of many. My righteous servant, says God, shall justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities, pouring out his soul unto death. Dear friends, those bullocks and those sheep and those goats had no souls to be poured out, plagued by sin, did they? No, they were the type of the Old Testament, a shadow of that which was to come. The true Lamb, the true sacrifice, the Son of God himself, holy, pure, undefiled, yet made sin for his people. So that time came. His hour came, as the scripture in the New Testament says. Jesus, knowing that his hour had come, that day had come, a day which the Lord had made for him to suffer on Calvary's cross, the sacrifice for sin, the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world, all his sufferings. You know, dear friends, we read in one gospel, I think it's in John, where Jesus says before he suffered concerning Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him, "One of you," he said to his disciples, "have lifted up his heel against me." Lifted up his heel, that's Satan. Satan's power to destroy, as if the best he could, the Saviour of sinners, the Son of God from this earth. "Yes, thou shalt bruise his heels." That was the prophecy in Genesis, wasn't it? But oh, it was a bruising, dear friends, wherewith the Satan's head was bruised. His power was destroyed. A conquered foe. Christ paid the power. Christ paid the price of sin. What a day that was which the Lord had made. Dear friends, it's a day in which, yes, as guilty sinners, if we are brought to see it, we will rejoice in. The disciples didn't, did they, at that time? No. They feared. They fled. They hid in that upper room, fearful of the Jews who would perhaps seek them out to slay them also. But on that third day, that first day of the week, Christ rose from the dead. The stone was rolled away. the soldiers whom had been put there by the priests to seal the place where Jesus lay, that no one would come and take him away. They became as dead men as the angel of the Lord descended and that stone was rolled away and Christ rose triumphant from the grave to appear unto all those for whom he died at that time. The first one being Mary Magdalene. The women as they'd come and were returning from the tomb. Then those two on the Emmaus Road. Then those 11 in the upper room where they were hiding. They saw the wounds of Jesus, his death for their sin. And they saw him risen again for their eternal life. Sinners, that they were saved by the power of his grace. Power to lay down his life, power to take it again. That Satan's power would now be destroyed. Dear friends, that was the first day of the week. That was today, the first day of our week. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Dear friends, what do you think of this day? Dear friends, we don't think rightly of this day. We may consider this day, as we do and come to worship in the house of God and read his word, sing praises and so forth. But what do we know of the true blessing in our soul, of what Christ achieved on the first day of the week? A life eternal. The assurance of it, the power of that blessing within our hearts. Oh, dear friends, when the Holy Spirit is given to us and we look by faith that precious grace of the Spirit and we look unto Jesus to become the author and finisher of our faith, wretched, guilty sinners that we are, and we feel it. We know it. It's a great burden within us. It's darkness within us. It's a trouble to us. It may have been there, oh yes, many years. But it's never been made a trouble to us like it is in the day when the Lord grants the teaching of his Spirit to convince us of our sins. And we're brought, aren't we, to submit to his righteousness. And oh, how we pray to be delivered from his judgments. The judgment that we deserve for our sins. You know, dear friends, that's a day the Lord has made. Made for you, for the salvation of your soul. And you can be glad and you rejoice in it, don't you? There's not a day like that, dear friends, upon this earth. Oh, we have many days. Which we can say, perhaps the Lord hath made this day. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. His good hand upon us in the providential things of this life. But there's no greater joy than we know the pardon of our sins through the shed blood of Jesus Christ as we look unto him. And he makes that truth known, that redeeming love shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost given to us. Dear friends, this becomes the Sabbath day, doesn't it? A truly Sabbath day. You know, it's interesting to note in the Greek, in the New Testament, when we come across later on the first day of the week, the word day isn't there, but the word Sabbath is. The Greek word for Sabbath, when we read of it in the scripture, in the New Testament, is the same word as we read for the first day of the week in the Church of Christ. This is truly a Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day of rest from all activity and consideration of those things which materially and carnally occupy us in our daily lives through duties and responsibilities. A day of rest where we can meditate and should meditate and must meditate upon the Word of God, upon the work of Christ, of the love of God who gave his only begotten Son, the reading of his holy Word, to feed upon this truth, to shut out everything else the best we can from it, and to pray in prayer the Lord, oh, to reveal more and more of his love to our soul. Yes, there are those things which perhaps we have to do upon the Sabbath day. We have to eat, we have to drink. There's nothing wrong with that, where the Lord on the Sabbath, their Sabbath day of the Old Testament. Oh, let me just make this point here. Christ's work was the bringing in of the New Testament. The Old Testament Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, was now superseded by the great work of the new creation, of the glory of God to a sinner's soul. On the first day of the week, through Christ Jesus. Yes, there was the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week to the Jews, all the way through scriptures. And Jesus' disciples picked corn on the Sabbath day. Jesus did not rebuke them. Oh, it was necessary, it was needful. And it was needful, wasn't it, friends, to show, as he did, healing on the Sabbath day to those that suffered and were in need. And we're to do that which is needful one to another. Yes, upon the Sabbath day. But not to look and get involved in the things which are just of our carnal selves and for our earthly glory upon the Sabbath day. That which we love to do Monday to Saturday, perhaps in our activities, whatever field that might be in. Dear friend, we're to separate ourselves on the Sabbath day to consider the things of Jesus. This is the day which the Lord hath made, this first day of the week. And we will rejoice and be glad in it, because in it we have a hope of eternal life. Looking unto Jesus, watching, waiting for his appearing, who will come again to take us unto himself. Oh, let us not treat the Sabbath day, the first day of the week, lightly, as if it's just and like any other day, but it involves a going to a place of worship. And having done our duty, then we can get involved in all the other things as well. Dear friends, that's not what the scripture tells us, is it? If we know this love of Christ to the redemption of our souls, to have a hope through grace, Christ in us, the hope of glory, then, dear friends, he is to be all the glory upon the Sabbath day. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, dear friends, I trust we can. I hope we can. Dear friends, on those such a day when the Lord appears to us in his power. You know, we could leave the things of this earth, couldn't we? It's become so less in its importance. Our desire is to be with the one who has loved us and granted us that love to him, to dwell with him in that place which he's gone to prepare for us. And to come again and to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. That's our first desire. But our times are in the Lord's hand. The day we were born was a day which was in the Lord's hand. Nothing happens by chance. There's a time to be born. That was a day which the Lord had made. And there'll be a day when we shall die. A day which the Lord hath made, our breath is in his hand, the scripture tells us. And between those 2 days, dear friends, we have many days of our lives. Oh, and what a mercy if we know that great day when we know our pardon sealed and peace with God. It's to be desired, isn't it, above all other things in our prayers. Do pray. You that seek, seeking souls, that long to find this truth of God's love above all other things in your heart, oh, do continue in prayer, that the day of the Lord, as we have it here, may appear unto you. But then we shall have to continue, as the Lord's sovereign will is for us. Very few were taken immediately to glory like that dying thief was, who came to believe and trust and pray unto the Jesus on the cross, when he only had perhaps a couple of hours left of his own life upon this earth. That still can be the case today, but we can't depend upon it, can we? No, we must live each day. We must live each day, a day at a time, looking unto Jesus. It won't mean that every day will be a day when we can easily rejoice and be glad in it, not in and of ourselves. We've still got our earthly self, haven't we? We've still got our nature. And dear friends, when things do not go right according to our nature, according to our own wishes and our wants, we're not in a mood, are we, to rejoice and be glad in the day. And perhaps we have more days when we are cast down and have fear and sorrows and distresses and concerns in all our duties and responsibilities and daily lives than there are when we are not in such a frame as that. In this world we have tribulation. Oh, like that woman who lost her son. Her husband and her were reading through the scriptures every morning. They come to Psalm 34, which began, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." She said to her husband, "Don't read that psalm, read something else." Her son had been killed in a car accident the previous day. No, dear friends, there was no natural rejoicing or natural thanksgiving, was there? Or the Lord had brought to pass in her life something was very hard for her to bear. But is this day this not still the truth, though, dear friends? What did we read in verse 5? "I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place." You know, dear friends, in our times of distress, sorrow, losses, bereavements, things that come against us, cast us down, the Lord is still there. He never leaves nor forsakes his people. There's a purpose in all things, although we can't see it, solemn that they may be. "I called upon the Lord in distress." No, that woman wouldn't have her son back again, would she? But the Lord could answer her and set her in a large place. He could give her the faith. Oh, to look beyond that which was there and then immediate. He could again shed abroad in her heart his love for her soul. He could let her realize by faith that in these solemn things he could yet work it together for good. Or perhaps someone else, through the solemn death of one, might be brought to believe in Jesus for the salvation of their soul in fear of death. All these things do take place, don't they? The Lord gives one in death for the life of another, to bring them out of nature's darkness, pleading that, oh, when they come to die, they will not be judged in their sins. Dear friends, after, even in days of sorrow, days which the Lord hath made, a purpose in all things, we'll be glad and rejoice in it because the Lord is still there. Jehovah Shammah. He's a prayer-hearing and answering God, and it's Christ Jesus the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He hath not dealt with us, I'll say that again, after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Oh, I love that word of the testimony of David. We find it in one of the Psalms. When I awake, I am still with thee. When I awake, I am still with thee. Dear friends, what is our first thoughts when we wake up in the morning? Are they all the difficulties and troubles and trials of the day which are before us? The things which have to be faced, managed and done? Dear friends, the right consideration is the Lord is there. The Lord is our helper in times of trouble. The Lord knows the way we take. And as poor Job says, when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The Lord can work all things together for good to them that love him, who are the called according to his purpose. Every day, a day of the Lord, he has made it. And can sanctify and will, dear friends, everyone that commits their way unto him. What about our sins, our faults, our failings when we depart and go and led by our own heart's desires of lust of our flesh and pride and all that? Dear friends, the Lord may bring us into a time of trouble, a chastening. But whom the Lord loves, he chastens. It might be a day of pleasantness at all, because we read, don't we, that chastening of the Lord is not pleasant, it is grievous. And dear friends, we may have to pass, well, if we are of the Lord's, we shall be chastened for our sins. Now there, that chastening is to keep us in the good and the right way, to bring us back when we've forsaken him. Just like that time when, if I've heard me say, I went running up that high hill to meet my wife at the top, and I said to her at the top, oh, not many my age could do that, could they? That was pride within me. And the Lord dealt with me a few days later with those chest pains. They said I was having a heart attack at the hospital. They found I wasn't when they inserted that stent. No, they didn't have to. Oh, the actual conclusion after a few days was, Mr. Hadley, you're a mystery to us. But I wasn't a mystery to myself or to God. For on that night, the same night in which I was in the hospital, I opened the pages of the Bible randomly, as we say, and it came out on Psalm 118. He hath chastened me sore, verse 18. He hath chastened me sore, but he hath not given me over unto death. Oh, dear friends, I was teaching in that experience. It was a day the Lord had made to bring my wandering spirit back. It was the day the Lord had made for me to fall before him, owning that every day of my life is of his sovereign will, and his goodness and mercy hath followed me all the days of my life. This is a day which the Lord hath made different. Let us ever remember every day, and to rejoice and be glad in it. For he will never leave nor forsake. He is faithful that hath promised. Oh, to be under the shadow of his wings, under the shadow of the Almighty. Everything subject to his divine will, that one day, oh, we shall come to the end of our lives. Until then, there'll be the days of his good hand upon us, can't we? Oh, you've had those troubles, you've had those difficulties, you've had those matters, you perhaps had that poverty, you've had something which, oh, you need, and you pray unto the Lord earnestly for him to provide, and it doesn't seem to come, and there's delays, and you wonder why, but you're constrained to continue in prayer. And then the answer comes. It may not be exactly as you wish, but the answer comes. The good hand of the Lord upon you to supply your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Dear friends, you've called upon him in the day of trouble. He's answered you. Now you glorify him as a day that he has made. Another day, a special day. The day of his good hand upon you, and then, oh, you too, rejoice and be glad in it. Evidence the Lord is mindful of you. And dear friends, he's able to give you more than you asked. Oh, we read that in Ephesians, don't we? He's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. And then we have to continue in prayer, don't we? To be maintained in that way that he opens up for us, in that providence which he has given to us. So, dear friends, every day of our lives is a day of the Lord upon us and within us, and his mercy to us. And then there's that last day. Well, we read, don't we, in Peter, kept by the power of God unto salvation, ready to be revealed in that last day. That last day. We know not when that last day will come. We don't know how it will come, suddenly or gradually, as we sink into perhaps illness and pain and, oh, whatever be the end of our lives, we do not know what our latter end will be. But, dear friends, if the Lord has begun a good work in us, that last day, dear friends, will be the completion of that work within us, where we are taken from time, and all the difficulties and troubles and exercises and pains and sorrows of this life into a blessed eternity. The day of the Lord comes. It's a gateway, isn't it? Unto eternal life. Oh, what we shall say then. No, this is a day which the Lord hath made. We will be glad. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Oh, how many die in peace. The Lord has fulfilled that work of grace within them and carried them to eternity. And dear friends, then there will be just one day in heaven above. There is no night there. It's eternal day, the scripture tells us. A day which the Lord hath made, no departing from it. A day which we shall be glad and rejoice in it forevermore. Oh, what must it be like to be there? Dear friends, it does us well to think upon these things. There's so much to fill our hearts and minds with our daily cares, duties, responsibilities, isn't there? How much our prayers must be, Lord, keep us mindful of thee. When it just comes to me, that word of the Psalm 92. It says, a psalm for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord, to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness every night. Every morning, every night. This is a day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen.